Hello, and welcome to season two of the podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared, where we discuss self-defense, situational awareness, and firearm safety. I'm your podcast host, Leonque Chavet, author of my debut novel, We Made Plans, which is available on Amazon in ebook and paperback. I'm also a trained paralegal with over 20 years of experience and a corporate trainer. This podcast is produced by Lee Conversations Media, and this week's episode is being sponsored by the Tactical Social Worker, not your average social worker. If you'd like to be a guest speaker or a sponsor for this podcast, please email me at leonquechavette@gmail.com. That's LAONQUECHAVETTE @gmail.com. So again, thank you to the Tactical Social Worker, my sponsor, for her support and sponsorship. And over the course of season two, we've discussed self-defense tactics, firearm safety, and situational awareness. And we continue that focus today to discuss a very important book entitled Simply Self-Defense for Young Women Moving Out for the First Time by Andre Herbert. Andre is a martial arts expert who was born and raised in New York, but moved to Charlotte, North Carolina at the age of 16. As the former lead instructor for Fit to Fight, he has been teaching martial arts for 20 years and lives with his wife and their two children. Andre has always enjoyed writing and has the new book we just mentioned. He is very excited about it. Additionally, in the past, Andre Herbert has devoted some of his time to working with local anti-human trafficking advocacy groups and law enforcement agencies. Andre firmly believes that we have an endless ability to affect those around us for either the negative or the positive, and we have to make conscious choices every day, which person we choose to be. So welcome, Andre. Thank you so much for being with me. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on.
Good, good. All right, so I hope you're ready. Let's start with that fun fact about yourself. I didn't include some of the things in your bio because you had some fun things in there, but you tell me what your fun fact is.
You know, the funny thing is, you know, generally speaking, when people meet me, I seem pretty straightforward kind of in our initial interactions. But one thing people might not expect or know about me is I am a fanatic about, you know, B-rated horror movies or maybe even below that. I just kind of watch them a lot growing up, and it's a kind of a huge part of what I am. I like to have fun and relax doing that. So that's a little fun fact for you.
Wait, I'm sorry. What kind of movies are they?
B-list horror and sci-fi movies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Got it. All right. That's good. That's cool. That is, I always have the conversation with my guest about whether or not I can relate to that. And we've had some really odd things pop up, but yeah. I am so not a horror. I'm a sci-fi person, but not horror. I can't stand to watch it because I just have, my imagination is too crazy.
Yeah.
I won't be comfortable being at home anymore.
That's fair enough.
So yeah. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention, or I wanted you to talk about for your fun fact as well, was this, beer thing and brewery thing that you do, you said in your bio, but I didn't include it though, but I want you to tell us about it real quick.
Yeah. So something else kind of that, you know, I enjoy is I really enjoy my wife and I enjoy going out to local breweries and, you know, we almost essentially, you know, buy locally at this point when it comes to that, you know, A, it supports local business, especially after COVID, and B, you know, it's good to kind of sample the local flavors because everything nowadays, at least in our market, tends to be sourced pretty locally. So it allows us a chance to really kind of taste our own town. And, you know, North Carolina in general has Charlotte, has Asheville, has, you know, Raleigh. And there's a lot of, you know, microbreweries on the scene that have really grown and developed over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And they offer products that really aren't comparable on a, you know, on a mass produced scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's great. We have, I've had so many guests from the North Carolina, Charlotte area. So if they're listening, I'm sure they'll be interested. If not, maybe they'll check it out at another time. But I definitely have had, I think maybe you would think that I lived in Charlotte, but I think might be the fifth or sixth guest from North Carolina. So, but again, thank you for being here. And I'm going to get started with our questions for our podcast today.
Okay.
So what kind of martial arts are you experienced with, and how did you become involved with it?
Well, you know, starting with how I became involved in martial arts, really, it was something that my dad was into. He had done judo when I was younger. And at the time, he'd encouraged me when I was about 8, 9, 10 to take up martial arts. And, you know, at that age, you know, you just want to do the opposite of whatever your parents want you to do. So I didn't want to do it. It wasn't until I was in college, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year. And I wanted to be involved in a group activity, have that kind of dynamic energy with a group. But, you know, I hadn't really kind of galvanized what that was yet. So I started trying different things, and I took a martial arts class and I really enjoyed it. And I was like, wow, I should really probably actually listen to my dad all those years ago. And really I started in karate. That kind of gave me a strong foundation to work from. And since then I've had the opportunity and the great fortune to not just train in some great martial arts and training systems, but to also work with some phenomenal instructors. So, you know, I've had the fortune to do it in boxing, some Muay Thai, kickboxing, a little bit of stick fighting. And, you know, and I say I do these things, I'm by no stretch of the imagination saying I'm an expert in all of them, right? I just want to clarify. I know that some people, maybe I'm not one of them, right? But I've done all of those things to an extent, as well as Krav Maga, which is kind of where I hang my hat the majority, because it's so focused on self-defense, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is kind of my personal passion for myself and developing that part of me right now.
That's good. What's the highest belt level you've achieved?
That's a really good question. So I think the highest belt level I've achieved is a second degree black belt in Krav Maga. But I've also, you know, I've been fortunate enough to receive my black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And, you know, those are kind of my two highest achievements that I'm proudest of when it comes to training. But there's a lot of that is a lot behind that. But those two are kind of at the pinnacle.
Right. Okay. So you're the second guest who has talked about the Krav Maga. So that's interesting. And again, but my other guest you're aware of, Nicole Thurman, she mentioned her experience with that during the course of our podcast. So that's cool. And something that I actually want to look into. So I don't know where I can find it yet, but I'm definitely going to look into it and have some of my friends and daughter go out with me.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, Nicole's fantastic. I'm sure she gave you the full lowdown on it. And it's like anything else. You can go to a bad pizzeria and have a bad experience. You can go to an amazing pizzeria and have an amazing experience. It comes down to going and kind of sampling and finding what really fits well, what makes you feel like they want you there, what makes you feel like they're teaching towards you in a way that you can make applicable to your average and everyday life. That's what it really boils down to.
Right. Okay. Well, that's good. That's great information to have, or a great tip to have as we start to look and figure out where we're going to go. Okay. So I know that you are also, you teach the self-defense, the martial arts. So what kind of students do you have? What's the makeup of the students? You know, male, female, age range, what is it?
Generally speaking, most of my students, you know, they tend to do an almost 50-50 split between women and men. And I think that's kind of the healthy balance for me that I'm looking to find where I make my impact. So that said, I think it also boils down to the way that we train. I want people that I train with to be able to experience training with different partners and body types and energies, and rather than, you know, only the biggest and strongest necessarily will survive. At the end of the day, there's only one biggest and strongest person. That's not 99.9% of us. So it's, you know, I want to train in a way that focuses the ability of the group to work together as a whole, you know, to work towards that common goal. Mm-hmm. Just getting a little bit safer, getting a little better.
Okay. So Andre, you mentioned I mentioned in your bio that you were involved with anti-human trafficking groups. So what I wanted to know was how you became involved with that, and if how others can get involved, those that may be interested in you know, picking up this cross to bear. So how can you get involved with something like that?
So the way that I got involved was we trained with a detective that was actually on the human trafficking task force here in Charlotte. It was him and his partner. They were tasked with basically covering a large part of this region. And, you know, doing some further research, I realized that North Carolina and specifically Charlotte are actually pretty high up on the human trafficking list because of our location, our intersection. We have the intersection between, you know, multiple highways. We have 77, mm-hmm. we have 85, we have 95, we have 40. Mm-hmm. And it's a thoroughfare that humans are literally trafficked through. So it's a pretty big thing in this area. And I had the fortune to work with the former detectives. And, you know, all I did was work with some local communities that were like-minded. And mm-hmm. we figured out how can we make an impact. Well, let's start with a little bit of awareness. We start developing awareness. We can start bringing this to the general population. The more the general population knows, the more we can start taking action towards getting changes, providing additional shelters and resources for the law enforcement officers that are already in there. And, you know, they're always, you know, understaffed and never enough resources to do the job. So the more we can do that, the more we can kind of get a larger capacity to help those that are actually in it, both professionally through law enforcement and, mm-hmm. you know, through other secular organizations or even churches that are looking to rescue those that are in need of it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's also relevant to your book. You know, when your title is for young women moving out for the first time, I think all of that is relevant. And we're going to discuss it further when we come back from the break. So please check out our Facebook page of my sponsor, Tactical Social Worker, PLLC. And she focuses on protecting your spaces. Again, you're listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chivette, and my special guest, Andre Herbert. And we'll be right back.
Leonque Chivette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonque Chivette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
If you are looking to strengthen your boundaries, to learn to protect your peace and protect your space, I am your girl. I am Latasha Oliver, LMSW of Tactical Social Worker, PLLC. I am the lady, the sister, the woman you need to come see. You can contact me on Instagram at TacticalSocialWorker_PLLC. That's on Instagram. My email is TacticalSocialWorker@gmail.com. You can also locate me on Facebook under Tactical Social Worker. That website is www.bodybyotactical.com. Go down, you see the Tactical Social Worker tab, click on that, and boom, you're in there. I am the Tactical Social Worker.
Welcome back to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chivette. This awesome podcast is produced by Elite Conversations Media. You can also check out my sponsor on Instagram at Tactical Social Worker PLLC. And we're going to get right back into our conversation with my author, Andre Herbert, who has the book out called Simply Self-Defense for Young Women Moving Out for the First Time. So, let's talk about your book now, Andre. What event prompted you to start writing this book?
Well, you know, that's a good question. The event that started me to write this book that prompted me to really get into it, my passion project, is I've been teaching martial arts for, around 20 years or so now at this point. And a large part of my day was spent around working with people, families, and individuals, from housewives and accountants to lawyers and, you know, amateur fighters, and helping them kind of along their path. And one thing that kind of continued to happen throughout the years, a trend I noticed, is we would get towards April, May, June, and we would have a certain segment that would come in who would have families with their young daughters getting ready to head off to college for the first time. And I think it hit them for the very first time, you know, right before they left. And they wanted to provide their daughters training on a realistic time frame, you know, because usually they had a few weeks before they were leaving for school. And they wanted to give them just a base that they can take with them as they're starting their life journey out on their own. And, you know, it could be moving off to college. It could be going off for a trip abroad. But that's right. Something that I noticed for years. But last year, of course, you know, we had the health hazard. We had the COVID-19 and everything kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. So I had all this energy and passion stored up that I was used to kind of getting out there and putting in the community and helping families. And then I noticed that, hey, all of a sudden I can't teach. I can't reach the audience. So I wanted a way to reach that audience without necessarily, of course, being in front of people, because that wasn't really an option. So I said, you know, how do I do this? And I said, a book is for me, because I love to write. Not necessarily, once again, saying I'm the best at it, but I love to do it, right? It's like an art, it's like martial arts. It expresses yourself. So I said, I think this is a great way to get out there. And with technology, you know, I want to include some images and some video links where people can go on and learn some material, learn some basics, and have a fundamental structure in place. So when they find themselves by themselves alone for the first time, their parents aren't there, maybe their best friends aren't there, and you're just kind of, you feel like you're isolated. Let's have something to fall back. Let's have a support system. So I know, okay, this is the basics. This is how I keep safe in a new environment. So I think I wrote the book over the course of 6 weeks. I wrote that book over the course of 6 weeks. And one of the things that happens too is, you know, I let it fly. You know, I would get up as early as 4:30 some mornings. I would work. I would come home in the evening and I would be typing till 11 or 12 o'clock. And then I just let it flow, because I've got other books that I have that are ready to start coming out. But with those, they just took a little longer process. But right. It's also the way that I was kind of writing it. But with this one, I didn't want to interrupt my process because it was flowing. So I let it go. I just let the process happen. And so about six or so weeks later, you know, I had my finished project, and, you know, I wanted to get it out.
That's impressive that it took 6 weeks. I guess I'll put the cover up on Instagram to show, but it's a good book. I read through it. And one of the things that I wanted you to talk about was the action steps that you discussed throughout your book. And you know, like, why did you feel the need to lay it out in that format? I thought the action steps were pretty good and relevant after, you know, you read whatever and you see the action steps. So, you know, what was your thought behind including the category action steps?
You know, that's a really great question. But, you know, thinking about why I included that is I wanted to have something that was concrete at the end of it. You know, we've all experienced, whether it's at church, whether it's, you know, at work, whether it's a good book or even a movie, we're like, we receive like an inspirational message, or we get some information, but that information doesn't matter unless you take steps. So a good example I can give is like Darren Hardy's The Compound Effect. I remember there was a lot of good information in that book, but one of the things they talk about is none of that matters if you're not taking action to make it work. So while some may include, you know, worksheets that you can use, and that'll help to kind of drive home retain the information and make it more palatable being incorporated into your daily life. I wanted to put something that at the end of the chapter, they say, okay, this is kind of the summary and this is what I can do to make this work right now. Mm-hmm. So give them a goal to work towards, give them something to take action in, as opposed to saying, you know, that was a good chapter, let's move on to the next one. Okay, I finished them all, put the book down and never think about it again. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one of the things I wrote in there. None of this makes a difference unless you take that action. And research bears that out. There are very similar programs that are based, and I don't want to necessarily get into details or the names right now, but there are very similar programs that are out there that are based on, you know, sexual assaults on campus. And mm-hmm. the information is somewhat similar to what I share, you know, with some differences. However, you know, that research also shows that people that don't take the action steps don't really see any kind of changes.
Right. So in one of the chapters you had, what would you do if you were enjoying a night out with a stranger, or if you heard gunshots or stuff like that? What would you do in an Uber? So I thought that those were good things to think about. And then, you know, if it's okay, if you don't mind, I'm just going to read this one paragraph.
Oh, please do.
The body will not go where the mind has never been. Craft your action plan for several scenarios unique to your life. The planning puts you in the highest position of survivability. And I thought that was really like key to everything that we've been discussing on the podcast throughout the past two seasons. Like, you know, just to have that in the back of your mind, in the back of your pocket, to have different actions for different scenarios to survive the scenarios, you know, God forbid they ever happen. But I just thought that was really, you know, like it was key that you mentioned that in the action steps. So that was good.
Thanks. Well, you know, and I mentioned that because mental modeling, which is also something that I talk about a little bit in the book, is mm-hmm. is a huge part of it. You have to kind of see yourself being there, being involved, and how you would take action and to increase your chances of likely taking action.
And one of the other things you talk about is, I'm really flipping through your book at the moment, but one of the other things you talk about is the term soft de-escalation. And this is not, you know, this is not a situation, or at least I didn't get the impression that it was, you know, like a mass shooting that you're involved in or anything like that. This is like a one-on-one with someone who is trying to attack you. But so anyway, can you just like tell us briefly what the soft de-escalation is?
Yeah, well, so a soft de-escalation basically is I am, instead of eliciting a response from the a possible aggressor, where I would likely make them more aggressive, you know, mm-hmm. by, you know, making fists out of my hands. You can't see me. I'm making fists with my hands, right? I'm getting ready to fight by right. maybe even putting hands on them, right? Or using aggressive language, right? That's not necessarily wrong. And, you know, there is a little bit more detail on that in the book. But however, there is a certain benefit to having a softer method. Well, actually, I play along and I kowtow and I make them think that they're putting us in a bad position. Because whenever they think that they put us in a bad position, their guard starts to lower. And when that guard starts to lower, it allows us to either, you know, run away and disengage the situation, or be preemptive mm-hmm. and hit first if that's what we have to do, or do whatever we need to do first. But we dictate the terms if we set it up correctly. So mm-hmm. by the soft defense, you know, I hope the name is not a... No, it doesn't elicit a reaction that it doesn't work. It by all means probably works better than a harder approach when I'm coming with my own aggressive energy, where I make them want to put their fist up. I make them engage for combat. If they're not ready to fight, that's the mindset that I want them in. And right. for general self-defense purposes, for men or for women, we're trying not to fight, right? I mean, like if we're fighting, we're losing one way, shape or form. Right? Mm-hmm. We can get hurt. We can go to jail. We can hurt somebody. So de-escalation in general, what we want to do. And that's kind of the soft approach in the sense that, you know, I'm going to put myself in the best position possible. I'll keep my hands up between me and them. I'm not letting them get in a better position. but I'm just not telling them ahead of time that I'm a hard target. If they've already assessed us as a danger, right, then that soft option allows us to kind of play along with it for a little bit until we put ourselves in the best situation possible to defend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's good. I need to take another quick break. And I have another question for you about your book when we return. So thank you so much. We're going to pause again. You're listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chivette. Please tell a friend about this podcast, which is available on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'm Leonque Chivette, publisher, corporate trainer, speaker, and author of We Made Plans, a fictional novel which debuted as number 3 on Amazon's Hot New Releases. This amazing story chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends who were in the midst of living their best lives when they experienced a devastating, trajectory-altering event, hashtag the event. My podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared, we'll explore 4 different weekly categories with topics ranging from unconventional self-defense to active shooter profiles. I bring it all together in highlighting passages and concepts from my novel as it relates to real life experiences. You don't want to miss out on these critical preparatory shows. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. for Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chivette.
Welcome back to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chivette. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at my website at www.leonquechivette.com. That's where you can find all of the links to my podcast directory, to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and you can make a purchase of my book, We Made Plans. Again, I want to thank my sponsor, the Tactical Social Worker, Not Your Average Social Worker, for her sponsorship and her support. And you are listening to my special guest, Andre Herbert, who is located in the great state of North Carolina in the Charlotte area. So thank you again, Andre, for participating in my podcast. You have this great book out. So I want to just go back and just ask the question. When parents bring their daughters into your facility for self-defense classes, what can they expect to prep their daughters for moving out of the home for the first time?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think what they can expect is it's going to be a little bit challenging for everybody. They have to understand that they're heading out into the world for the first time. So everything is going to be new. I'll give you an example. I had one parent that still sticks out in my mind. It was the dad. He brought her in. She was getting ready to go for a trip abroad to France, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But he kind of pulled me aside as they were getting changed, getting ready to go train. And he was like, you know, just thinking about it right now, in hindsight, I realized I've sheltered her entire life. And I've never really allowed her to experience anything. And I've known this guy for 2 minutes, right? And he's kind of telling me this. It's because, you know, he's worried about everything that's going on, everything that can potentially happen, you know, in an overseas environment. So we talk a little bit and, you know, it's the recognition that we can't necessarily shelter people from life. We can provide support. That's inherent with being a parent, I think. Mm-hmm. But we also want to keep in mind that our kids, and I say that because I have 2 little ones. I try to let them experience as much of the world as possible and try to keep them safe from the important stuff. So when they come in, know that it's going to be a little bit trying. It's going to be frustrating. If you're not being a little bit frustrated when you're training, then you're not really going to see any success. Mm-hmm. You want to be a little bit frustrated and uncomfortable. We want to, you know, depending on how much time we have and what we're training, the context of the situation and the individual that we are training, you know, we'll get uncomfortable. We'll start talking to them, right? We'll start approaching them like we're, you know, a possible aggressor or maybe somebody that's looking to sexually assault them. So they've got to use their verbal communication first and foremost. They've got to establish a border, a physical barrier, right? They've got to look to use their verbal jujitsu, if you will. They've got to talk their way into the best position possible to either hit or escape the situation as quick as they can. But you have to be willing to get a little bit uncomfortable in that scenario.
Right. Okay. That's great information. Thank you so much. And so in this climate that we live in, what's the number one thing you want our listeners to know in order to be safe, be vigilant, and be prepared?
The number one thing I want to have taken away from this is have a understanding, have a plan of what you're likely to experience, the dangers that you will have in your everyday life. And I say that because, for example, in Krav Maga, which I love, but is based on the Israeli self-defense system, okay, used by the IDF. And, you know, their everyday life over there is vastly different than our everyday life, right? So, you know, everybody serves in the military over there, right? We have an all-volunteer force at this point. And they have, you know, a lot of conflict that we don't necessarily deal with. So I'm not worried about having to deal with somebody throwing a grenade in the mall, right, as I'm walking with my family. But I am worried about walking into, you know, being at a restaurant with my family, and then there's an active shooter. Well, do I know where the exits are? Can I see people coming in and out of the entrance and the exits, right? Am I aware of kind of watching people's tones and body languages? Mm-hmm. And, you know, having that understanding of what I'm likely to face is going to be key to successfully countering that. And a win for us is I don't have to beat somebody unconscious. That's not a win. Me getting home safely to my family, that's a win. If I have to run in my car and drive away quickly before they can engage me, yeah, that's an absolute win. That's fantastic. If I have to grab a chair and hit somebody as they're in my home, in my kid's room, and I can't just run out the door, well, that's what I've got to do in that moment. That's my win. But hopefully, you know, I had a prearranged plan, and I understand the threats that I'm likely to face, so I plan accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I hear what you're saying, but there's also the understanding that you can have in your mind how you think you would respond to certain things, but, you know, situations unravel differently. But I agree, and I'm completely like in tune with having something in your mind about how you would respond. But, you know, just understanding that you never know how exactly it'll happen. And then hoping that nothing happens to you, that you even have to become engaged in something like that. So, but thank you.
And that's the thing. Hope isn't a plan. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Say it again.
Oh, no. I was just saying, yeah, that's absolutely correct. Hope is not a plan. That's why, you know, towards the end of the book, I talk about, you know, we have action steps in this book, but we also have you have the ability to go out and continue this learning, continue this training. So I talk about how can you incorporate training in your average everyday life. And look, is everybody going to do martial arts for 20 years? Absolutely not. Right. But can you benefit from 3 months of it? And can it change your life? Absolutely you can. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. Yeah. You gotta practice.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. And so how can our listeners get in touch with you or follow you on social media?
Absolutely. So the first way is you can email me. It's andre.jherbert@gmail.com. That's just andre.jherbert@gmail.com. You can also find me on Instagram at FTFAndre. You can also find me on Facebook, my public page. Just search for Andre Herbert.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for sharing all of that and for sharing the information. And I just want to remind our listeners that your book is called Simply Self-Defense for Young Women Moving Out for the First Time. And that's by Andre Herbert. That's AndreHerbert. So thank you so much, Andre. I appreciate it. I appreciate you taking the time out to be a part of my podcast. And I just want to say thank you to my sponsor, the Tactical Social Worker, Not Your Average Social Worker. And most importantly, guys, I want you to know that we make plans every day, and to see those plans through, we all, with regard to our personal safety, need to be safe, Be vigilant, be prepared, and be blessed. Love you all, and thank you.